Well, thank you for having me this afternoon. It is a pleasure to be here. Do you mind if we pray before I just begin? God, I thank you for the meal that we've had. Thank you for the fellowship around the tables. And God, I just, as now we share and delight in story, Lord, I ask that you would be glorified and your story would be seen and your hand at work. And that you would remove all distractions from that particular vision here and now. And so we thank you for your presence, and we pray these things in your son's name. Amen. Now, I'm going to tax your memory a little bit this afternoon. Afternoon. And I'm going to start my tale of journey. John told me I was really just supposed to tell you about my story. How did I kind of get to here? He said, this is what they want to hear. I said, okay, that's what we can do about that. At the end of Matthew's gospel, Jesus gives these words, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. I want you to remember that. And then in Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, Paul says this, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Sorry, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Now, these two verses, and there's a myriad of others that I could have chosen, but these two verses thread through my story. And I want you to pay attention, and this is the test, to see if you can pick out through the story where these verses really show up as thick threads. So now you have to pay attention, otherwise you'll fail the quiz at the end. And we don't want that, right? So before I get too far into my story, as John said, my name is Ryan Emmons. And I grew up in Regina here. I'm the son of Jim and Wanda Emmons. And how many of you curled in the Baptist Curling League at all way back in the day? There, and how many of you curled against my parents? I will apologize for the losses that you suffered. They had their curling sweaters were covered with "We won the Baptist Curling League" thing. I couldn't beat them. In my prime of curling, I couldn't beat these people who couldn't curl to save their lives. But they were awfully sharp at it. My story is likely similar in scope to many of yours. My story isn't sensational. It isn't flashy. It's not overly dramatic. I'm not on the FBI's top most wanted list. I am not a super celebrity who, after a decade of decadence, realized that there is something missing from my life and I need to figure that. That's none of that is my story. My story is very simple. I grew up at Argyle Road Baptist Church, and I attended at Argyle Road Baptist Church from the time that I was born, quite honest, literally, until the time that I left, and then I'm back again. And my story really is, how did a Regina boy end up back in Regina? It sounds like not that much fun, but there is a neat story and a neat experience that I find of God taking me through ups and downs, over, unders, kind of a bit of a roller coaster journey, I like to call it, where a seemingly straightforward, almost like the drive from Regina to Medicine Hat. And John, we were just talking about that drive earlier, and it's in my notes right here to mention it. Interesting to go, that straight, boring drive, I could say that's my story, but it's not. There's curves, and there's ups, and there's downs, and there's joys. Some of you know some of my story, most of it. Some of you don't know it all, and it's my privilege to be able to share it this morning, or this afternoon. And I'm going to pretend to watch the clock here, which is even nice. Thanks, Merv, for providing that for me. Wherever Merv, there you go, right here. So, before I go too far and get into the details of things, I am really bad at dates. I don't remember well what happened and how many years it took place to happen. So if at some point along the line you think there's no way that much could have happened in that short of time, probably because I'm getting the times wrong, just go with the story. And just assume that I'm actually older than I look as well. Just go with that assumption also. We can go there. I grew up at Argyle. Grew up in Regina. And from the moment that I can remember, I was the good church boy. I was that, and I wasn't a pastor's child, so I was well behaved. I have kids, they're not. And I would wear a suit and a tie to church, and I was there every Sunday, and I was up at the front, and I always told the most appropriately embarrassing stories about my parents when I was up at the front for children's time, and I was involved in every Christmas play, and I was involved in every production, I was involved in everything at church that a good church boy should do. And I did all of these things. I was at the right weddings. I was appropriately polite to everybody. My identity was a good church boy. And that came all the way through school. In my school years in Regina, I went to Rosemont Elementary and I went to Luther High School. I had good grades through all that. I was a horrible student, but I had good grades. And that was all through it was my identity, my story was what I thought people wanted to see from me. We expect Ryan to be this. So I went to Catepwa Lake Camp, then Catepwa Baptist Camp, was a great model camper, and then I was a staff at Catepwa Baptist Camp, a model staff person for a number of years, and then God began to say, okay, enough of this. You know who I am, and I've got to shape you for something and do something a little bit different with you. So now we're going to move you along and point out some of the places where we need to reshape and where we need to kind of buff off some of those rough edges for you, Ryan. Now I'm going to send you out into the world. So in graduation from high school, I was fully on my way to not really sure what I wanted to do, but figured I needed to stay in school. And so I applied at the University of Regina in a business administration degree with a focus on bank management. Doesn't that sound exciting? Doesn't it? Because I figured I like money, and I'm never going to have any of my own. So I might as well play with other people's money. That was my thinking. And my argument, somebody in the church said to me, well, Ryan, you should probably go to Baptist Leadership Training School and take a year and do that. And I said, well, that might sound like a good idea. And there's some friends of mine who've gone previously, and that seems like an expected thing. Here's what I'll say. If I don't get any scholarships to go to the university, I will then go to BLTS. Now, this goes to show just how much I don't actually know or didn't pay attention to. Apparently, you actually have to apply for scholarships and bursaries. They don't just give them to you. They don't just know, hey, look, Ryan needs money. We'll give it to him. Would you believe I didn't get a single one? Not one. I didn't apply for any, didn't get any. And so clearly, that was God saying, go to BLTS. So I went to BLTS before it closed. And I had a great time there, a good year there, and that was the beginning of the discovery, the formative years of discovering, who am I? I'm not just Jim and Wanda's son. I'm not just Ryan, who's the good kid at church. My brother wasn't the good kid at church. That's, you know, always important to note that. I was always the good one, in spite of what others may be able to accurately tell you. And I need to figure out who I am. So at BLTS, I did some of that formative thinking, who I am. Who do I find myself being as a Christian? Who do I find myself being as a person? When I went to BLTS, I was the only one from Regina in that class. There was only three other people from Saskatchewan in that class. I could be anybody I wanted, and no one would know who I used to be. I was baptized that Christmas. And Ron did my baptism, and I think we forgot to turn the heater on the water that year. It was cold. I'm looking forward to doing one on April 1st here, which we hope the heat will work for. And just really wrestling with the who am I? What does that stand? And I didn't get it figured out at BLTS. I began to get it figured out, but the things that I did figure out was I couldn't continue on doing the same way, living the same way, acting the same way, pleasing people the same way that I had always done. So now what? Well, as expected, I should go back to work at Catepwa Baptist Camp, right? A good camp kid should be there. I didn't. I decided I needed to go to a different camp because Catepwa needed to change and I wouldn't want it to. And so I went to Dallas Valley Ranch Camp. But I also needed to go to school, because if I don't go to school, I'm never going to go back, and I should have a degree, right? That's important. So I should at least have some alphabet soup. And so I went to Dallas Valley, and while there, met a young man who said to me, well, Ryan, what are you doing in the fall? I'm going to go to the University of Regina and take a very aggressive and very unique degree, a psychology degree. which nobody else ever takes. And he said, well, why don't you come to the Canadian Baptist or Canadian Bible School College with me? I said, the where now? And he said, the Canadian Bible College. It's right on the corner of 4th and Louvain. I drive past that every day. My parents lived like 5 minutes from the Canadian Bible College. Didn't know what it was at all. I said, sounds like a good plan. So off I went there. And in that place, in that school, I began to get a heart and a passion for ministry. But it wasn't the way I thought it would work out. At the end of my second year at CBC, third year out of college in Wewegent, I was thrust into an internship that wasn't really their choosing, wasn't really my choosing, but they needed to fill a spot, and I was the filler. And so I went off to do my internship in a church in Outlook, and the good people, good church, I was not the right guy there. And it was a horrible year. It was a terrible experience. I was frustrated with the politics. I was frustrated with the role. I didn't learn anything. Well, it was a bad, bad year. I was called by name of the person who interned before me for half the time I was there. I apparently looked like a Neil. And so I was Neil for half a year. And it was a really bad. When I left, the Sunday I left, they were actually hiring Neil to come back full time. And Neil and I are good friends, and so I was fine with this. But no one noticed that this was my last Sunday at that church. And I left the service, and no one noticed that I had even left. It was a bad thing. I said to myself, and I said to God, if this is what working in church is like, I don't want anything to do with it. I will never work in a church. Ever. And so I poured my energies into camp ministry. My goal then, the long-term plan, was to be a camp director in Canada for a number of years, and then to go overseas to a place where they speak English, because I'm horrible with languages, and direct camps over there for a number of years, and then come back to Canada and apply all of this wisdom and knowledge of camp directing that I had gained, write a book about it, because there are no good books about camp directing out there, and make my mark in the world. That was my plan. Finished CBC, got married at the fall of that year, and was settling into this plan of where will the next camp take me. I'm out at Dallas Valley for part of the summer. And the beginning of the week I started, and a guy by the name of Dave Anderson comes to me and he says, Ryan, we need to get you into an Alliance church. I was attending at Argyle Road still at this time, a good solid Baptist. I am a Baptist and I don't want to change. Just to note that. And Dave says to me, Ryan, we need to get you into a church. I said, Dave, I don't want to ever work in a church. And he said, okay, we'll talk about this later. And I said, well, okay, we'll talk about this at the end of the summer, 6 weeks, we'll give it a go. Thursday of that week, this was on a Monday, Thursday of that week, Dave phones me up at the camp and he says, Ryan, I have a church for you. I said, Dave, this is not 6 weeks. I don't want to work in a church. And he said, Ryan, I've got this church. You need to go here. So I met with the church. I met with the pastor. I met with the elders. And this little church in Russell, Manitoba, this Alliance Church, captured my attention and said, this is a good place for me to go. Little did I know that this church has the reputation of chewing up, spitting up, beating up, destroying associate pastors with gay abandon. And I didn't know these things. Eventually, people found out that I was going to this church, and they said, Ryan, what are you thinking? Run, flee for the hills. And my experience with these people in this small town, Russell, Manitoba, where pastors go and meet every year for a pastor's retreat in the Heartland area, these are dear, wonderful saints. And they supported me, and they loved me, and they built into me. And I had the greatest experience serving in a church that I possibly could have had for a person who didn't want to ever work in a church. That was my church experience. My family experience at that point went a little bit south. In that time, I was at Russell. My wife at the time decided that she didn't want to be married anymore. And so she went off and she had an affair to try and end things, burn all the bridges we can. And on a weekend where we had candidated in Estevan, on the Monday, I found out that this was going on. By Wednesday, she had left to go back home to BC. By Thursday, I was in the car driving to BC. And by the weekend, I was in BC to try and figure out how to save my marriage. Left the church. They gave me time away. They said, go. They gave me money to do it. They said, go get this sorted out. The church was supportive. So I spent a year in Kelowna, BC, where my ex-wife was from, where her family is from, where her friends are all at, where I know one single person outside of her family. Spent a year there trying to rebuild, restore, save my marriage, and it didn't happen. Now, while I was in Kelowna, God was looking after me. And this is how he did it. Because I was angry. I was frustrated. I said, I don't want to have anything to do with God, with the church. If this is what's going to happen to my life, my marriage, I don't want anything to do with that. And God said, right, the one person you know in Kelowna is a youth pastor at a church. You need to go see him. So I went to go visit my buddy. Hey, I'm in Kelowna. This is what's going on. He said, fantastic. Do you want to help me lead my youth ministry? I said, no. And so the next thing I know, I'm doing seminars on how to lead youth ministry and encouraging their youth workers and engaging with their youth kids. And I think, well, how am I getting into this? This isn't where I want to be. I need to be focusing on my marriage and restoring that. And I didn't know anybody else for a job. And somebody in the church was looking for somebody to hire. And I needed a flexible job. Turns out this was it. And so for a year, I spent time cleaning blinds and ductwork. Cleaning blinds, if you want to know what that's like, is the mental equivalent of sweeping the same spot on your floor for 6 hours a day. Just to put that out there. But that's what I needed. Because when I needed to go to an impromptu counseling session, or when I needed to be able to go and do something to try and whatever it took to restore this marriage, my boss let me go and do that. Because his daughter was going through the same thing. And he understood, and she understood. And afterwards, you can ask me about family connections with that family. It's quite a neat story. That didn't work. At the end of the year, marriage split, divorce happened, and I said, now what do I do? I'm a wrecked pastor that no church is ever going to hire. What do I do now? So I decided I was going to come back to Regina and take an education degree. And so I have an education degree. It's a Bachelor of Religious Education. I took this education and go to the U of R, take an education degree. And it turns out I would have had to take an entire degree, and I didn't want to do that. So I said, now what? So I ended up working at Western Christian College and High School. I walked in with my resume in hand. I said, on your website, it says, if you like working with kids, give us a shot. And I said, I used to be a youth pastor. Where can you fit me in? So I worked there for 3 years, met my now wife, Cindy, there. We've been married for 10 years, two beautiful children, and it's delight. And that is where God brought me in the space of putting me in this place with these weird Church of Christers to find restoration in marriage and refaith in marriage. And the big thing that he took me through all of this was in the idea of grace. And this is where Colossians comes into this idea. When I was in Cologne, I read What's So Amazing About Grace. Have you read that? Yeah. I couldn't. I started reading and I couldn't physically finish reading it. Because in that book, I was understanding the idea that God has loved me so much and given me so much grace in spite of how I have treated him through my entire life. And he has forgiven me, that all my only response is I must do that same level of forgiveness for the people who have hurt me most. And there was one person on that list, and I couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it. And so I wrestled for time with that, and eventually God got me to the place of being able to say, you can do this, you can give grace, you can extend that, because I have extended so much more to you. And so I held on to that, and there was healing within, and permission to move on, and it was great. Through the course of working at Western and some interesting dynamics and happenings there, I eventually left that job and ended up working at the Regina Food Bank for a while. And through the course of working at that, learned some different things about leadership, learned some different things about people management. I don't know if I learned them well, but I experienced them anyways. And all through that, I had the privilege of being able to be part of Argyle Road Baptist Church again. Because I just can't leave the nest, apparently. I just keep coming back. And going on, I got to serve on the board while Ron and Marilyn were there and learned a ton of things there. And eventually, it came to a point where we were looking for an associate pastor. And I was chairing the board at the time, and I said, this is the time for me to do this. I think God's calling me back into ministry. And so I wrote a job description for the role that they ignored with wisdom, and handed it to another board member, stepped off the board, and handed in my application. And I was blessed, the bold, courageous move by the church to hire me, and that started the journey back to working in a church where, not in that church, but working in pastoral ministry where I never wanted to be in the first place. After I thought I was too wrecked and broken in my experiences to ever be thought of or hired again to work in ministry. And God brought me up and down through all of these roads and hardships. I was just about, well, it was 8 years ago. This summer is when I would have started. And that has been an interesting journey of being able to learn and grow and serve in a church that I grew up in. If you ever have the privilege of being able to have someone in your church serving on staff who you know and knew as a little child, I would recommend this as a poor choice of greeting for new people and visitors to your church. Have you met our pastor, Ryan? Now, I don't look very old. It's true. Have you met our pastor, Ryan? I used to change his diapers. It's good to know you. Well, I have fun with that one. And I also have fun telling stories about my mom, because she sits in the back corner of the church every Sunday and scowls at me because I tell stories about her, and that's a lot of fun as well. But the joy of some of the ministry that I've experienced is being able to journey with these people who I've journeyed with for 40-some-odd years of life and seeing where they have gone, but then also seeing them see me as a legitimate adult, which is difficult for me to see sometimes, and to come alongside and say, I really want to listen to what you have to say. And all of this is God working and shaving rough edges off of me, shaping me for what he has in store. I don't know what that is. If any of you have an idea of what that will be for me, I would love to hear it. Because God's not giving me a clue. He's just saying, here's some rough edges we're going to work on. Here's some smooth edges we're going to rough up a little bit. Because you need some of that as well. But there's a journey that we're going. And through all of this, God has been faithful. He has never left me. I have tried to leave him. He has never left. He wouldn't let me leave. He kept pulling me back into church, pulling me back into fellowship with people. He kept pulling me back to all these things, providing for me when I lost a good-paying job and took one that was less good-paying, provided for me when I moved to a city that is ridiculously expensive to live in with absolutely no money or skills or job opportunities, providing places for me. He has provided faithfully through all the way. And that's those scripture threads, if you stayed with them, Colossians and Matthew at the end, through my story. And he's still writing that. I'm excited about it. See where it goes. A little nervous about what my children are going to say when they get older, and what they say now. But it is delightful to see where he has been faithful, where he has healed, where he has shown me grace, where he has taught me grace, and where he is allowing and providing for me to serve in whatever way he sees fit, bumbling, tripping, falling my face along the way as it goes. I see by the clock it is now 1:01, and I'm going to wrap things up at that point. Thank you for allowing me to share, and I'll stick around for a while, and if you've got more questions or want to hear more, I'd be happy to entertain those as well. Thank you very much.